My name is Jean Simon, and my partner is Jim Balter. We are taping this interview for National Council of Jewish Women Oral History 2. Today is November 29, 1990. Please tell us your name and your birth date, and please spell your name, Leonard.
My name is Leonard Weitzman, Weitzman. I was born on May 4, 1923.
Leonard, would you please start by telling us about your family life in the early years, about your family, your brothers, your sisters?
Well, first of all, I was born in Brooklyn, New York, and my parents moved to Pittsburgh when I was about 6 months old, so I consider myself to be a Pittsburgh native. We initially were living in the east end of town. I'm not sure exactly where. Somewhere near Stanton Avenue. I forget the name of the public school out in that area, a private school. I went to kindergarten there. And then, shortly after that, my parents went into business down in the Hill District, the Lower Hill District on Wiley Avenue. And we moved in a few rooms above the store. I went to a school that was torn down many years ago on Logan Street called Franklin School. We did not have...
What school?
Franklin. We did not have a bath in our few rooms. We had a commode, but no shower or bathtub. And I either went to the bathhouses with my father on Epiphany Street, mostly Daniel's bathhouse. But in many cases...
Tell us a little bit about that bathhouse.
Well, you know, there were, as I recall, two bathhouses on Epiphany Street across the way from each other, right down from the synagogue there, the Beth Yonkov Synagogue. Which was on Epiphany Street, and I think that was Crawford Street. I think that was almost ritualistic for many people to go to the bathhouse. I don't know if it was because they didn't have adequate bath facilities at home, like us, or whatever, but... I know that once a week, anyhow, my father would take me to the bathhouse where they had the steam rooms and the men who rub you down with these large Turkish leaves that they would swish around in a soap bucket. And then after they would massage you with these leaves and soap, they'd then rub you down and twist your arms and legs, and I guess almost like what a chiropractor does today, in terms of loosening up your joints. And for those that were brave enough, they had a small pool that probably was no bigger than 8 by 8, and ice cold, and if you were brave enough, you plunged in. Now, I understand that pool, at one time, before Daniels got there, may have been the mikveh for that area. And I think that when Daniels bought that, they used that as the pool. But in any event, there were regulars that used to go to the bathhouse, and my father used to take me. I used to see the same people all the time. And I used to look forward to one thing. We used to have dinner there. I don't know whether they brought it in or prepared it there, but there were salami sandwiches with big slices of onion and salami sandwiches. And it was sort of a treat that I used to have. But in many cases, I took my regular bath up at the public bathhouse, which was a couple blocks away, and my mother used to take me to the women's section. And then when I became about 6 or 7 years old, I remember my mother telling my father in Yiddish that, translating it, she thinks I was getting too old now to take to the women's bathhouse because I was starting to look. So at that time, they decided that I ought to discontinue going there, and most of my bathing was done at Daniel's bathhouse. When we got a little more affluent, we moved up to the Heron Hill section of Pittsburgh, a street called Ura Drive.
Do you have any idea when this was?
Well, let's see. I think I went to Franklin School till I was about the third or fourth grade. So I must have been 8 or 9 years old, I suppose, when I moved.
Yeah, probably something
like that. And at that time, that was a major move I won't say of wealth, but certainly several grades up from where we lived on Raleigh Avenue, which was even then predominantly black, even though most of the merchants were Jewish. A lot of the merchants there were Jewish.
What street was that?
When we lived on Wally Avenue.
When we moved up to here.
We moved to Ewart Drive, Ewart, which is right off Center Avenue.
Exactly.
And right near, at that time, it was called Heron Hill Junior High School. Now it's called the Lions, I think, Junior High School. And I transferred from Franklin School to Minersville School, which was located at the corner of Center Avenue and Morgan Street. That school also has been torn down. It was condemned many years ago. And the building there is called Knott Manor. But very few people remember that school. And Montefiore Hospital, the old Montefiore Hospital, was just right up the street there. I used to pass Montefiore Hospital when I went to school. It was on Center Avenue, right across the way from Heron Avenue. And I remember it quite well.
Amanda, did you say that on Heron Hill, the people were black and the merchants Jewish, but on Wiley
Avenue?
Yeah.
Yes.
But there were more white people up
in
Heron.
Yes, there were more white people. And the Jews began to, many of the Jews who lived down on what we call the Lower Hill, tried to better themselves by moving to the Upper Hill, which we called it, the Heron Hill, and places to up the hill from us, which would be Cam Street and Cherokee Street and Milwaukee Street. That's on the other side of the Shenley High School ball field up there. So it was an interesting transformation for me. Quite a step up. We had our own bathroom, and that was nice.
And what, did you have any religious education at that time?
My parents used to take me to a shul. There were two shuls, as I recall, in the Hill District, one on Miller Street and one on Robber Streets. I think the Miller Street one was the Russian shul, and I think the one on Robber Street may have been the Hungarian or Romanian shul, I'm not sure.
I'm falling behind. Two shuls, you said?
Yes, one on Miller Street and one on Robber Street. We used to go to the one on Miller Street, which was a Russian shul, since that was more of the background of my parents coming from Russia, Poland, and I used to, when we moved from Wally Avenue to Ura Drive, I used to walk from Ura Drive on the holidays, on the high holidays, all the way down to Miller Street to the shul.
It's a good walk.
Which was quite a walk. And but I got my religious training through a rabbi, Rabbi Torben. Rabbi Torben gave private lessons.
T-O-R-B-I-N.
And I'm not sure if he was a rabbi. We always called him a rabbi. He may have just been a teacher. But he was, I think, Orthodox. There were a couple of sons, and the Torbens were around today, I think. Izzy Torben, Joe Torben. Anyway, it was his father. And we used to go to him. There was another rabbi, Rabbi Grafner, who used to live on Avalon Street. Avalon Street and Ura Drive were on either side of Center Avenue. if you know how that configuration is. And I think I went to Rabbi Grafter once or twice, but he was the one of those traditional, what we call knuckle rabbis, that when you made a mistake, he had a ruler, and he would crack you across the knuckles. And I didn't particularly care for that, so I liked Rabbi Torben, as we called him, who was very, very nice. And he taught me Hebrew and also coached me to my bar mitzvah. And when it came time, when I was 13 years old and it was time for me for my bar mitzvah, there was a shul up on Adelaide Street whose name I cannot recall.
On Adelaide Street?
On Adelaide Street, or Anaheim Street. Either Anaheim Street or Adelaide Street. I can't remember which street.
Not there.
It might have been Anaheim Street.
It's not there anymore.
Oh, I'm sure it's long gone. But that was a shul, and that's where I was bar mitzvahed.
And that was the end of your religious education then?
That's
formal
right.
Religious education.
That's correct. When I was bar mitzvahed, I really terminated my religious education.
Do you want to tell us about your family?
Well, my father had a very unusual background. His mother and father were divorced in Europe, which didn't occur very often.
My family, too.
Is that right? He had, as I understand it, another brother who, as I heard the story, was kicked in the head by a horse when he was very young and killed. So my father was the only remaining child from that marriage. They moved to America. They came to America. His mother went to New York. I'm sorry, his mother came to Pittsburgh and married a man who had children from a previous marriage, and they had children together. His father went to New York, married a woman who had children from a previous marriage, and they had children together.
Mm.
And my father, being very young, he was a teenager, was caught between Pittsburgh and New York with a mother and father who had other children and other marriages, and I don't think had enough of an interest in him. But he went to work very early in the garment industry in New York. And he used to go down to the fashion districts and look at hats in the window. And he'd go back and he would model a hat of a cheaper model.
Men's hats.
Women's hats.
Oh, women's hats.
Women's hats. And that would become the knockouts of
knockoffs
of a higher priced hat, where he would make that, and that would become the production line for that particular factory. My mother came from, as near as I can determine, Austria-Hungary. My father had come from Russia-Poland. Her family came over and brought her over, and she was a young girl. She went to high school. My father never went to high school, and my father was really illiterate, never really learned how to read or write. My mother finished high school in New York, went to work in the garment industry, and her brother actually fixed her up with my father on a date. He was in the garment industry. And they started to go together and got married in New York. And worked in the garment industry. And I was born in New York. In the meantime, his mother, who was in Pittsburgh, one of the children of her husband, the previous marriage, Joe Gerson, took an interest in my father.
That's a half-brother to your grandfather.
No, No, that's my grandmother's, it's my father's mother's child, stepson, because he was born with a different father. When she married him, he was already born from the previous marriage. My grandmother's stepson. Okay? And Joe Gerson, at that time, had Paulson Cleaning Company. And he said to my father and mother, you ought to come to Pittsburgh. You're not making a living in New York. And they became like real brothers, even though they were not real brothers. I guess you would call them half-brothers, step-brothers, I'm not sure. Because there really was no blood connection, as I can see.
Between your father and Joe Gerson.
And Joe Gerson.
They were step-brothers.
Well,
they had the same mother.
No. She married a man who
had children.
Who had this children, and he was a child from that marriage, Mr. Gerson. Okay?
Got it.
Okay? He said to my father, I'm in the cleaning business. Why don't you come and open up a cleaning store, a dry cleaning store in East Liberty on Station Street, right up the street from the old original hot dog place on Station Street. There was a library on the corner on Larmer, I remember that. And he said, you'll bring me your cleaning and I'll clean it for you. My mother took her engagement ring, which wasn't very big, went down to either DeRoy's, I think DeRoy's, pawned her engagement ring to get enough money to open this little store up in East Liberty. And that's how they got started. You might know the subsequent children that my grandmother had with her new husband because they're all members of Rhoda Scholem, I think. One was Pearl Simon. Remember Pearl Simon? Her husband was in the mattress business, Royal Beauty Mattress. One was Gene Fierce. Gene used to work at the Temple years ago. You might remember her.
Mm-hmm.
And the other was Barnett. She married a man down in Rochester named Barnett, but some of her children are the Phillips children, who are very musically inclined in Squirrel Hill.
Oh, sure.
Anyway, that's that branch of the family. But most of them are the relatives, my father's and mother's relatives, were in New York. Because my grandfather remarried, had children, had a number of sons, I think four sons with his new wife. The interesting part about that, if you'd walk in a room and you saw any of these Weitzman men, would pick them out instantly because they're their exact carbon copy of my father.
Are you a Weitzman man?
Yeah, even though it's a different mother. But his father, children with his new wife, the Weitzman children, look exactly like my father. And, it was great. Anyway, that's my family background. And
I have something. You said you moved to Heron Hill around 1930s, the early 30s or something like that. Then your father was all right during the Depression, 1929, 30.
Well,
31.
What he did was, when he moved, what happened was the East Liberty place was being redeveloped and phased out. And he had to move, so he went down to the lower hill to get the store, and it was convenient because if they moved upstairs, we saved some money. What he started to do during the Depression, people needed money, so he began to lend them money on articles of clothing and took his dry cleaning business and went into the pawn business and eventually developed into a pawn broker. So the way he got through the Depression was, I suppose, on other people's ill fortune by lending him money and began to develop a business that way.
What was your mother's maiden name?
My mother's maiden name was Fleet. F-L-E-I-T. Some of the branch pronounce it Flight, and some pronounce it Fleet. But it's a very unusual name, and I don't know of anybody in Pittsburgh with that name. But I have a number of cousins in New York with that name.
Fleet?
Fleet.
Leonard, tell us about your, you started to tell us about your school days. You went to Minersville?
First I went to Dilworth. I went to Dilworth. That's the name I couldn't remember earlier. Dilworth a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved in with some relatives and some boarders in East Liberty. It's kind of vague. I have some pictures of me as a little boy on a porch. And then from there, when we moved to the Lower Hill, that's when I went to Franklin School. Until about third grade. And then I went to Minersville School and graduated from there. And from Minersville School, I went to Heron Hill Junior High School. And from Heron Hill Junior High School, I went to Shenley High School. And we moved from Muir Drive in 1939. We bought a house, my parents bought a house on Birchfield Avenue in Squirrel Hill. And to me, that was a brand new house. And that was like being reborn. It was really a wonderful place with a backyard. It was very lovely. Since I was a senior in Shenley, I didn't want to transfer to Alderdice. All my friends were at Shelley High School. So like the last year, maybe 6 or 7 months, I commuted, took the streetcar from Squirrel Hill to Shelley High School, where I graduated in June of 1940. And we just had our 50th high school reunion this past June.
The 50th reunion.
50th.
Good. Then did you go into the Army in 1940?
No. Then I started Pitt. I wanted to go to Michigan, and my father said, you have one choice. You go to Pitt or you're going to go to college. Because he made it very clear to me. And by the way, I worked in my father's store all those years. When we moved to Ura Drive, I used to many times walk down to the Lower Hill and work the stores. And when I was 10, 11, 12 years old, I used to sell. And on Saturday night, I never could go out Saturday night because we were open to midnight Saturday night. And I had to work
until midnight. I was talking about the pawn shop.
Pawn shop. And of course, you know, there was a viable Jewish community down there, the Jewish Community Center, which was the old
Irving Kaufman
on Center Avenue, Weinstein's Restaurant and Kaplan's Restaurant. And, well, what little time that I had recreation-wise down there, I lived in the Lower Hill, I used to go to the Irving Kaufman Center. Sidney Teller, who at that time was the director, and it may be significant or not, but in my latter years, even though I was young and Sidney Teller didn't know me, in my latter years, I had a connection with Sidney Teller, and he and I became friends and had some letter writing with Sidney Teller, and that's another episode. But obviously, there was you know, besides the center, the Hebrew Institute, which was located up on Wiley Avenue near, I guess, near Dinwiddie Street. We had the Roosevelt Theater. I was able to go to the Roosevelt Theater on Saturday afternoons, walk up to on Center Avenue. And then there was the New Granada Theater and the Lando Theater. The Lando Theater at that time was the Jewish theater, And
what do you mean, the Jewish theater?
Well, there was Jewish theater. There was a.
Oh, you mean living theater, live theater?
Live theater. Molly Picon. And, huh?
That's amazing.
And the people who were the. Used to come from Second Avenue in New York where they had live theater. They used to come to the Landau Theater in Pittsburgh. And my mother and father spoke mostly Yiddish. The latter years they started to speak more English, but early on. And I became fairly fluent in Yiddish. I had to speak Yiddish if I wanted to be in conversation with my mother and father all the time. And once in a while, they would take me as a real treat to the Jewish theater, Landau Theater, which was all performing in Yiddish, which was wonderful. And I, by the way, my grandmother in New York, my mother's mother, never spoke English. And I used to write to her in Yiddish. I could write letters to her in Yiddish. And she used to write to each other back and forth in Yiddish. And, if I'm pressed a little bit, I could probably write a little bit and speak a little bit. But Yiddish was a very integral part of my early bringing up.
Did you have brothers or sisters?
I had one sister. The younger sister was about 3.5 years younger than I am, Bernice. And she is married to a man named Max Katz. And later on, and when my father... they tore down, obviously, the Lower Hill. I think where my father's store is now where the Central Medical
is
located. And so my father began to open up cleaning stores around the city, one-hour cleaning stores. And my brother-in-law went into those stores with my father. And eventually took that over when my father died.
You mean you don't?
Your father was in that pawn shop.
Well, what happened was, as you know, I can't remember the exact year, but there was the whole Lower Hill redevelopment area, you know, where the Civic Arena is now and Washington Plaza and Central Medical, and they tore all that down. So my father gave that business up. And when he had to give that business up, he was searching for a business. I think his... he had a couple of misfortunes, I think. One thing he did, he bought a bar on the south side, and that turned out to be a disaster. And he was not a barman. And my mother and father worked like dogs, and they finally decided that that was a mistake. And they, I guess, sold that. And then he opened up went back to the cleaning bins, which he knew better. He went to McKeesport, opened a store with a partner, and they sold that. And finally he decided, well, he had a stepbrother. Now, this was a Gerson, one of the younger Gersons, who had a store on Edward Street, a one-hour Martinizing, but he sold the one-hour Martinizing equipment. So he said to my father, why don't you go into one-hour Martinizing? You know, and so my father opened these one-hour stores. He had one on Frankstown Avenue, and then he opened one in the 7th Avenue Hotel, but just so happened that the one on Frankstown Avenue got torn down for the East Liberty redevelopment. The one in the 7th Avenue Hotel got torn down for the Gimbel's parking garage. And then they opened one on Chateau Shopping Center on North Side, and that whole development got bad. Until finally, when my brother-in-law was in the business at that time, I think they decided that the cleaning minister that was not he didn't have good locations and it wasn't doing too well, so finally close all those stores up.
Oh, so they were all closed up.
Well, two of them are redevelopment and one by a bad shopping center. There was fire bombings over there, and I think there was a...
Chateau Street,
yes.
Yeah. And you were in Pitt at this time.
I graduated, I was in Pitt, this was after, I think after what happened was, I graduated Pitt in 1943. Now, I was in the ROTC at Pitt, and when the war broke out in 1941, the ROTC at some point in time, I think it was 1942, late 42, was mobilized, and I was sent down to Fort Meade and be inducted in the Army and sent back to Pitt to finish out my college. But I lived initially in Shadyside Academy, the old Shadyside Academy on Ellsworth, and we used to get up in the morning and we used to march in formation down to the Cathedral of Learning, and then later on I got transferred to the cathedral. I actually was barracked inside the Cathedral of Learning, and I had to go through the summer continuously. I was in the armed forces, and then I graduated a little earlier in August of 1943.
And then you must have gone right into the Army.
Well, I was in the Army.
They must have sent you.
Then they sent me to Officer's Candidate School. It was interesting because I don't know how important this is, but when I was graduating college, a lot of my friends were able to get commissions, ensign commissions, in the Navy, and I went to the colonel and asked if I could transfer, and he said, too many of you fellows are leaving us and going to the Navy. No more. I'm not going to give any more. So I couldn't get my naval commission, so I had to go to Officers Candidate School when I graduated. So our whole class, graduating class, was sent down to Camp Davis, North Carolina, to begin anti-aircraft. Anti-aircraft was the unit at the University.